This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. We trust the program will be a blessing to you and will make you think. Now, if you would like to contact me, you can do so either by regular mail or through my website, and I'll give you those two addresses at the close of the program. This program can be re-listened to on my website, and there's other information there that you might find helpful. So I hope you'll go to it and see what information would be useful to you. The program can be downloaded and can be passed on to others from that website. Now, we've been going through some Old Testament prophecies having to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been working with 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, the last words that Peter has left us, at least the last recorded words that Peter has left us, where he says, "But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." And I think particularly in the climate that we live in socially and politically and economically, we need to know something about the grace of the Lord Jesus. And in order to know something about the grace of the Lord Jesus, we have to know something about him. We have to grow in knowledge. And I think this is not just an experimental knowledge or an observational knowledge, but an intimate knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as a result of that, we've been going through Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled in the New Testament to get some understanding of who the Lord Jesus really was. And last time we had gotten to the fact that the Lord would speak in parables. We saw that in Isaiah chapter 6. It talks about, "Go and tell this people, keep on hearing but do not understand, keep on seeing but do not perceive." And I think the whole idea in that passage is that Isaiah was going to be sent to a people whose minds were already made up, and they were not going to listen to what Isaiah had to say. They were not going to respond to his message from God. It's the age-old adage, "My mind is made up, so please don't confuse me with the facts." The Lord doesn't harden our hearts so we can't hear, but when we don't want to hear, he'll harden our hearts so that we don't understand what he's saying. And so the Lord did speak in parables, allegories, used poetic language. And for those of us who compare scripture with scripture and who pray about our understanding of the Bible, we do understand most of these parables. We maybe have some disagreement on to the actual application of some of them, but we understand the principles in these parables, and the Lord taught in this way, using stories that likely were real stories of real incidents having to do with real people, use those stories to explain principles that would be that would be useful to his disciples as they themselves carried the gospel to others. Now, I want to look today at a prophecy that is extremely important, found in Isaiah chapter 61. This is our 21st prophecy that we've been looking at. Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, which says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings, good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." Now that's what we read in Isaiah 61. And when we come to Luke chapter 4, we find out that the Lord himself realizes that he is fulfilling this prophecy. In Luke chapter 4, he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. You'll notice that the Lord didn't read everything that we read in Isaiah 61, verse 2 says, "to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God." But the Lord read just to where The acceptable day of the Lord ends, and he closed the book on the day of vengeance of our God. And we understand now that basically there's been 2,000 years between the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Now we know that the day of vengeance of our God is coming. That's the book of the Revelation. That's the story having to do, or not the story, but the information having to do with the great white throne judgment, the lake of fire, and what happens to unbelievers after they die. And frankly, it's not a pretty picture, and it's not one that I want to deal with today. The tribulation period is bad enough, but eternity will be worse for those who reject the Lord Jesus, as the Jews did. But the Lord was preaching the acceptable year of the Lord. And in the Old Testament, the acceptable year of the Lord was a day of great blessing. Every 50th year, there was a jubilee. And on that jubilee, these things basically happened. The poor were released from their debts. Those who had lost their properties got them back, and those who were in prison were released. If you were brokenhearted, this was the year that everything was made right. And so the Lord came to preach the year of jubilee, the 50th year. And so it is interesting that in the Jewish economy, if you made a mess of your business, you would have one chance in a lifetime to start over. And if you were in prison, you would have actually more than one chance, but at least one chance in your lifetime to be released. God has always been a God who is a God of the second chance, and who has an interest in those who have made mistakes and those who have suffered in this life. People think that God doesn't know or understand the suffering of the people, and yet he does, and he made provision for it in the Old Testament. Now, I realize that really what he's talking about when he talks about these blessings from the standpoint of the year of Jubilee, these things will be really fulfilled literally in the millennium, but they were fulfilled spiritually when the Lord came the first time. And those of us who have trusted in Christ, we've been set free from the bondage of sin. We have had our broken hearts healed. We have been anointed to preach as the Lord did, glad tidings to the poor. We are preaching the acceptable year of the Lord. We're not preaching today the day of vengeance of our God, but as I said, that day is coming. The John 3:36, which I often quote, says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, at the very end of that chapter, it says that we have been delivered. We who are saved have been delivered from the wrath to come. We're waiting for the Lord from heaven, and we have been delivered from the wrath to come, and we will be delivered in a physical way at the rapture, but we've been delivered in a spiritual way already, and our future is secure. We have it made, as the world would say. And so the Lord came to release us from the bondage of sin, to forgive us, and to forgive the debt that we really owed him, and to give us as a free gift this salvation that he paid such a dear price to accomplish for us by dying for us at the cross of Calvary. Now, when we look at this passage, it makes it quite clear that the time element in the Bible is the difficult part when it comes to understanding when things happen and the order in which things happen. He closed the book in Isaiah 61 on the acceptable year of the Lord, this year that speaks of all the blessings of the year of Jubilee. But when he closed the book, he closed it on the day of vengeance of our God. He closed the book after he said he was going to fulfill this acceptable day of the Lord. But when we come to the book of the Revelation, chapter 6, he begins to open a book that is sealed with seven seals. And it seems to me that the book that he closed here, he opens there. And you'll find out that when he opens it, even on this earth, the great men and the rich men and the chief men and all of the high society, say to the rocks and to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And friend, we need to understand that while the Lord came to save, for those who reject him, a terrible time is coming, and God is angry with the wicked every day. The wicked being defined as those who worship anything but God himself. We know that the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That is, you'll have no other gods that replace me. And people are replacing God, the Creator God, all the time. They replace him with gods of their own vain imagination. They replace him with idols. They replace him with pagan gods. They replace him with science. But if we have gods other than the God of heaven, then the day of vengeance is going to come, because that's who the wicked are. And the Lord says that he's angry with the wicked every day. So friend, this is a very important prophecy, because now when the Lord came the first time and we look at his grace, he's offering salvation and blessing and release and healing. That's what he's offering. And why would anyone reject such a blessing? The Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he offers that to us if we'll just come to him in simple, trusting faith and believe that he is who these prophecies are saying that he is. If we'll just take him at his word when he says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, I understand that today these blessings are spiritual blessings, but they are the blessings of somebody who has peace of mind because they have peace with God. Thank God he closed the book and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing, but the rest of the scripture will be fulfilled. It's been 2,000 years since he closed the book on the day of vengeance of our God, but that day is coming. And so, dear friend, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to trust in the gracious one who has revealed God to us and who says that we can know for sure that we're saved if we'll trust him. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And friend, I hope you have entered into this blessing of the acceptable year of the Lord, which the Lord came to fulfill when he came the first time. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation, and we pray that you'll meet the needs of those who are listening as we commit ourselves to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.